This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Milwaukee Bucks have game six tonight against the Boston Celtics. They are up 3-2 after winning game five in Boston, which they had an amazing, amazing comeback in that game five in the fourth quarter. That game looked done. That game looked wrapped up for Boston. And then Milwaukee came back, and now they can close it out tonight with game six. Alex Strofe joins us. ESPN Milwaukee host of Bucks at 6 on a Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. All right, so listen, there's obviously bigger wins in Bucks playoff history, winning the championship and all of that. But where does this one rank? I mean, this was dead in the water, and yet they found a way late in that game to come back and steal that game from Boston.
Yeah, it's high up there, Tony, right? I mean, I've been trying to process this for the last, not quite 48 hours, but almost that. And yeah, it's right up there. I think it's comparable to the Game 7 win in the same series against the Nets last year, where if Kevin Durant's shoe size was just a little bit smaller,
they win that game.
So I think it ranks right there with that one. Game 5, which set up the obvious eventual clincher for the Bucks against the Suns last year, was also, a thrilling come-from-behind victory late in the fourth quarter. But this might be the most improbable, right? Down 14 at a point in the fourth quarter. And, you know, there was multiple moments in that fourth quarter in which I said to myself, yeah, this one's over. We can pack it up. And then all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute. And then Giannis, of all people, has a wide-open look at the top of the arc. And if you're a Bucks fan, like I am, you're thinking to yourself, oh, please don't shoot that. Oh, thank God he shot that, right? So there were just several of those moments late in that game. I still can't believe they won it because it was that improbable.
It's amazing how Giannis can have a 40-point, 11-rebound night, but I think the real buzz was Drew Holiday and the way he played with 24 points. Where has he been in this series, and what was that kind of performance for him, and how much was it needed from him in Game 5?
Yeah, I think your last point there, right? Like, how big or how much was it needed is the important part here. He's been active. He's been as active as he's been all season from an offensive standpoint. He just hasn't been as efficient as he has been all season from an offensive standpoint. Obviously, with Chris Middleton out, he has been asked to do a lot more offensively, right? He becomes that number two option without debate. So he's been taking a lot more shots than he typically does in games three and four. He took about 30 shots in each of those games, and he was not, again, very efficient. He was making under 10. So to finally see him come around and hit some clutch shots was obviously, you know, it was encouraging. I think he finished 9 of 24. But I think what you're getting at, Tony, I assume, is obviously the last 10 seconds of that game.
Sure.
Where he has a block and then he throws it off Marcus Smart to maintain the possession. And then just a little bit later, steals from Marcus Smart, making Drew Holiday look like the true defensive player of the year. So it was terrific to see him really come through. They obviously don't win that game without him, I don't think. I think that last deal, he had a great look for Tatum. Go ahead.
Give us an idea of Chris Middleton with him out. We've seen these playoffs where players are missing and how they look without particular players, whether it was early with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, Ja Morant in Memphis. But with Chris Middleton, how has Milwaukee had to adapt without him?
Yeah, they've tried a slew of things, right? I think different lineups. They got really creative with their lineups late in that Chicago series and early in this Boston series. You could never plan for one of your best players being out, right? I think it's an old saying that Tom Moore had when he was the offensive coordinator of the Colts with Peyton Manning. He said, we don't practice being effed with 18 not on the field or something
right.
like that, right? You can't do that in professional sports. So obviously they don't know what they're going to look like without a baller like Chris Middleton, but they've been good. And to your point, right, like I've heard this crazy narrative all of a sudden that maybe the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant.
Right,
what are
yeah.
you talking about, right? Like, what are we doing here? They figured it out, Tony. They found a way to win, impressively win like they did the other night without Chris Middleton. But holy crap, man, if you can get him back, this team's going to be in really good shape because they've found their groove without him, and I don't think him coming back will affect chemistry or anything. So if they can get past Boston tonight and hang on and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, man, they've got a shot. I'll just put it that way. They've got a shot.
It's funny that you mentioned that because every time I talk about Memphis and I talk about the way they look without Ja Morant on the floor, I always have to preface it by saying I'm not implying that they're better without Ja Morant. Every time I do that because it's hard to describe how good they are without him. It's sort of the same thing. You never ever say it's hard to say next man up, right? Because replacing guys that are extremely important. They're not just replaceable with a guy off the bench.
No, right, exactly. You're replacing some of the best players in the world. And
right.
In John Morant's case, one of the hottest players in the world, right? The level he's been playing at. It's just a different game, both for Chris Middleton and obviously the Grizzlies without Ja, but the Bucks, to your point, have found a way to win without Chris, and it's been impressive the way they've done it with that next man up mentality.
I got to tell you, one of the more impressive moments of that game for me was Bobby Portis when he went out and got that putback. Celtics should be ashamed of themselves that they can't get that rebound. They get that rebound, they get to the line, and then all of a sudden it's a different game. I personally like Bobby Portis. I remember him from Arkansas. How has he done in this series?
In this series, it's been really interesting, Tony, because in game four, he played 15 minutes. He didn't even see the floor in the fourth quarter. So for a game later to be on the floor and do what he did in that situation, it was just really weird. It was a tale of two games, right?
Right.
So he's been solid. I mean, he's been asked to provide, but as I said earlier, Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Bucks, has gotten really creative with some of his lineups. And in game four, it just happened that Bobby wasn't really part of those. And in game five, he was. So he's been a guy off the bench. When Chris went out initially in that Chicago series, Bobby slid into the starting lineup and was starting. And then I think it was game two or three of this Boston series, he made the swap of Grayson Allen for Bobby Portis in the starting lineup. So he had a little bit of a different role, or has had a little bit of a different role, but he's still one of those main contributors off the bench. And to your point, I like him too, and so does the entire freaking city of Milwaukee.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah. He is a Milwaukee guy. Every time he does anything, dude, he could like cut his fingernail, and I think Pfizer Forum in the Deer District would be chanting, "Bobby, Bobby." he is loved here.
What is your overall take on this series? If you pull yourself back a little bit and just look at the way these two teams are playing, I mean, you get a Milwaukee dominating performance in game one, Celtics a dominating performance in game two, the Bucks win. It's somewhat controversial with Marcus Smart at the end. Al Horford has an incredible fourth quarter in game four. Now you have this incredible comeback in game five. It feels like every possible storyline you can have in a game is being written by these two teams.
Yeah, I think it's the Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Right?
I think we knew these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And maybe you'll disagree with me there, Tony, but I really felt coming into this series, the winner of the East coming out of this series. And I think it's lived up to the hype, right? Obviously, you hate when injuries happen, and obviously Chris Middleton hasn't been a part of the series at all, but also the Marcus Smart angle early in the series. Now you've got Robert Williams dealing with something on the Celtics side. So you can't predict injuries, but it's lived up to the hype. I mean, every game has been back and forth, and really only one blowout, I think, in this entire series. Two blowouts, I guess, in this entire series. So it's been just terrific. And again, I compare it to last year's series between the Bucks and the Nets in the Eastern Conference semis, because it was just the same way, right? It was punch you in the face. Oh, I'm getting punched back in the face, and so on. So we're seeing a great example of that again, and it's been thrilling. But Tony, as a Bucks fan, man, I'm just begging them to please get it done tonight. Don't
sure.
let it get back to Boston, because it's really hard to win three games on the road in the same series.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. This may be nothing. It may be a lot. Do you have an idea or just a thought on? Is there anything that this team is doing this year in the postseason that is a direct relationship to them winning the championship last year? Are they conducting themselves a different way? Are they looking a different way? Are they reacting to different obstacles in a different way?
Tony, I'm a radio guy too, so I'm just going to compliment you off the top. Great question.
Thank you.
look, I think game five was a good example of that, right? Like, there was a moment at the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I think they're down 12 points, and Mike Budenholzer takes a timeout. And Greg Matzik, my teammate with ESPN Milwaukee, asked I think it was Bobby Portis after the game, great question about, you know, what was said there. And he pretty much said, it was just keep our composure. We were calm, cool, and collected in the huddle. Whereas I think you and I can both agree, we've seen a lot of teams who would not handle that situation
sure.
very well, right? Down 14 on the road, going to lose the lead in the series. You know, you'd go down 3-2, obviously, if you lose that game. But then they come out of that huddle, and that's where it was go time. And they weren't right back in it for several minutes, but they wouldn't go away either. And I think that was just fundamentally looked like an experienced team. And they never lost sight of it. And then I just got to talk about Drew Holiday again, right? Like, that guy is a baller. And I think he's a champion, right, obviously, from last year. But on the court, he conducts himself that way as well. And those last 10 seconds were as clutch defensively as it gets. I did a segment yesterday on Bucks at 6, and I just talked about how sexy defense can be. Because Drew Holiday made defense look sexy on,
without a doubt.
On the other night.
Without a doubt. Alex, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always. Hope we get you back on again if this team continues to progress in the postseason, my man.
Bucks and six. Thanks, Tony. We'll do it
you
again.
You got it. Bucks and six, ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Strofe joining us to talk about the Bucks again, who can close out the series tonight in Milwaukee. You know, he's right. You don't want to go back to Boston for game seven. It's very difficult to win three road games. I mean, listen, I mean, as you guys know, I grew up at a time where this, you know, Celtics old Boston Garden was, you know, a house of horrors for visiting teams to go to Boston and play. But Milwaukee has done a very good job in Boston. This series, as I said earlier, has gotten everything attached to it. I mean, seriously. I mean, blowout here, blowout there. Controversial call. Great performance. Individual performance, right? Al Horford in the fourth quarter of game four. Then you have this team in Milwaukee that's down, dead in the water. Boston's going to cruise, get out of there. The game five. They fight back. Not only do they fight back, the people involved in the comeback put up great clutch moments, produce in great clutch moments. And now we'll see what we've got tonight for game six. This has been a great series. When you talk about, we talked earlier kind of jokingly about Phoenix and Dallas. Does either one of these teams want to play a close basketball game? Compare that to this series where we haven't had all the games close, but we've had enough conversation about why we're getting the outcomes in these games. A different way of talking about it rather than, Phoenix blew them out, Dallas blew them out, Phoenix blew them out again. This has been, look at what's happening here. Look at what happened here. Look at the way this has been changed. Look at the way this team is. It's been a fascinating series. And I think he's right. This is nothing against Miami. And I've got a lot of respect for Miami. You heard me talk about this earlier this morning, if you did. I love Eric Spoelstra. Jimmy Butler has found a home. Heat are dangerous, but I think the best team is coming out of this series in the Eastern Conference. All right, we will talk to Frank Schwab coming up at 40 past the hour on the NFL schedule release. Some of his thoughts on some of the really good matchups that we'll be getting this NFL season and when we'll be getting them as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.